British Sky Broadcasting and Millennium Films present a Saturn Films production. An Emmett Furler Films production for Equity Pictures Medienfonds GmbH & Co. KG3 and New Image Entertainment GmbH. The sun shines on a small town nestling amid rolling green and gold hills. Starring Nicolas Cage and Ellen Burstyn, cars roll along a sunny highway. A car and a truck drive past Willard's restaurant, where a couple of guys are sitting at the diner counter being served by a uniformed waitress.
Thanks, hon.
You got it.
A trucker pays and goes. The other guy, a cop, lights a cigarette.
Boof.
Hey! Sorry, my mind was wandering.
Totally understand. If I just ate one of them burgers, I'd be in a trance, too. So where's your friend? Honey? Your salad's up.
The other cop in a leather jacket gives a friendly wave. He's browsing at a bookstand. He looks at a self-help video. With Kate Bian, Francis Conroy, Molly Parker, Lily Sobieski, Diane Delano and Michael Wiseman. Casting by Heidi Levitt, CSA. Music by Angelo Badalamenti. The browsing cop flies down the highway on his motorcycle and stops a car.
Give me your driver's license and registration. You know why I stopped you?
Yeah.
Costume designer Lynette Mayer. Production designer Philip Barker. Edited by Joel Plotch. Director of photography Paul Sarossi, BSc, CSC. Line producer Brad Van Aragon. Co-producers Ziggy Kamasa, Simon Franks and Sean Williamson. Executive producers George Furler, Joanne Seller, Trevor Short, Andreas Tiesmeyer, Joseph Lautenschlager, Danny Dimbort and Elisa Salinas. Produced by Nicolas Cage, Norm Go Lightly, Randall Emmett, Avi Lerner, Boaz Davidson and John Thompson. Based on a screenplay by Anthony Schaffer, written for the screen and directed by Neil LaBute. Having ticketed an abandoned car, he scoops up a doll which has been dropped from a station wagon and speeds to reunite it with its owner. He smiles as he switches on his lights and siren. The heavily loaded car pulls over. He glances at a passing truck as he gets off his bike.
Afternoon.
Afternoon, sir. Hello. Sorry about the... We're just in the middle of moving, and I'm sorry.
Did you get my doll?
Oh, sweetie, hush.
It's okay. I've got it, honey. It's a little banged up.
Anyway, sorry again. Ever since lunch, she's been acting out.
I'm bored.
Well, I know what that's like, but we need to be careful with our things, don't we? So everyone else can be safe too, right?
The little girl in pigtails nods as another truck rumbles past.
We won't let it happen again, sir.
Great, thanks a lot.
Sonny, stop that. I'm so sorry. She's belted in. But...
Don't worry. It comes with the territory. I'll get it.
He crosses the road and bends to retrieve the doll. A truck smashes into the car, which bursts into flames. He rushes to help. The woman's not moving. Hurrying round the back, he tries to smash the rear window.
Keep her head down!
The little girl's still alive. He smashes the glass with his helmet and pulls at it, trying to reach her. Blast hurls him across the road. As the flickering flames are reflected in his face, the title in flame-colored lettering appears: The Wicker Man. At home, he rubs his face with his hands and takes some pills, then sinks back in his chair, watching a Western on TV. A female colleague's at the window. She gives a cheery wave, and he goes to open the door.
Hey. So?
That about sums it up.
I heard about your commendation. It's great.
Thanks.
Guys down at the station are saying you might resign or something. Is that true?
My dad killed me.
Here. Pete, maybe bring them over. Get well soon stuff. I guess it just keeps coming in, so.
He puts down the pile of envelopes and they stare awkwardly at each other.
You want to sit down or?
Yeah.
They sit, and she spots the bottle of pills.
Stuff happen, you?
Oh. Some. You don't have to stay. I don't really need visitors.
She indicates that it's no bother.
So you're gonna shoot for a detective now, or what?
Just need a little time off. So they still never found the bodies from that car, right?
No. The car wasn't even registered, if you can believe that.
Well, who were they?
Don't know. I never know.
He lies on the settee, reading his mail.
Edward. I know that we haven't spoken in a few years, and things ended badly. Or I ended them badly, to be more fair. I didn't want to hurt you any more than I did. Now I must. To the point. I have a daughter. She is a perfect child, and her name is Rowan. She has been missing for 2 weeks now, and I need your help. I should explain. I live on Summers Isle, a tiny place in Puget Sound. I doubt you've heard of it. It is where I grew up. Do you remember how you always used to ask me? Now you know. Rowan couldn't have left the island by herself. She's too young. I have tried to find her on my own, but am receiving little help from the community. I fear she is in danger, so now I turn to you. I pray that you'll forgive me. Yours fondly, Willow Woodward.
There's a logo with a bee and a crown on the notepaper.
Hello? Hello?
He looks puzzled. Later, he walks into the police station.
Eddie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Hi. Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
Better.
Are you back?
No, not for a couple of weeks. Listen, you didn't see this one come in by any chance.
No? Why?
Because no stamp. Read it.
His colleague from the diner opens the letter.
Wow. The plot thickens. Didn't even know you had a plot.
No kidding.
So is this like some old girlfriend or something? This, Willow?
No, she was, we were engaged.
What?
We were, you know, close, and she took off on me.
Yeah, sounds like she got kind of close with someone else, too. And she's got the nerve to contact you now? Shit.
I know, it's back then I'm a cop, I guess.
We need to be in that briefing in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Hey, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're gonna blow this off, right?
Well, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I mean, yeah, I'm pissed off at her.
Come on. You haven't seen this girl in, like, what? Forever?
Her kid's missing, Pete, okay? It might be all she's got.
Tell her to contact the father. I'm just saying, Ed.
I get it. I'm just...
Why don't you do a little digging on her first? I mean, come on. Summers Isle? Where the hell is that?
Yeah, this is all I can find. It's privately owned out in the Pacific Northwest. Some sort of
farming commune or whatever.
Yeah, like the Amish or something. Give her a call.
I already tried that, but guess what? There's no phone service on Summer's Isle.
Summer's Isle.
Edward looks at the photo of a little blonde girl with pigtails wearing a red cardigan. He's on a small ferry crossing a quiet bay. There are few passengers, and he sits alone at a table and splashes his face with aftershave. He looks at the letter again with its neat handwriting on parchment-like notepaper and examines the photo. Looking up, he sees a little girl with pigtails in a red sweater standing at the ship's rail. As he stares, he sees a truck smash into the little girl. Frowning, he takes more pills. Looking up, the girl's still there and is joined by her mother. He pinches the bridge of his nose and grins to himself.
Hey, Pete, it's me. Hey, I'm glad I got your machine, because you'll probably laugh at me, but... Hello? Hello?
The signal on his mobile drops out. On a wooden jetty, a man is loading a small seaplane as Edward approaches.
Ahoy there.
Who's that?
I don't know what you're supposed to say.
No, I just go with hello.
Right, hello. You know anything about a place called Summer's Isle?
Yes, I do. In fact, I make most of the deliveries around there.
Deliveries, huh?
Yep, just about every day. That's what I'm doing now.
What would I have to do to catch a ride with you?
Oh, no. I don't care to lose my contract with these folks. They're very particular.
All right, well, then just drop me down on the beach or whatever they have out there, and I'll walk into town.
The answer's still no.
Come on, it's just a few miles. I could practically swim that.
Well, you better start swimming, then.
Why? What's the big deal?
Because he's private. He's off limits, and we respect that. We're all private people around here.
Yeah, but you're so warm and open, it really makes up for it. All right, I'm just kidding. Okay, look, how about you take all of us there?
What do you mean, all?
Well, me... Mr. Grant here and his twin brother Ulysses.
The old guy grins, and then they're airborne over small wooded islands. Edward looks down on the strings of islands shrouded in clouds and mist. They touch down in a rocky inlet, and Edward clambers ashore through shallows cluttered with fallen trees and boulders. He walks up a steep slope dotted with trees and through shadowy, sun-dappled woodland. He reaches the top of a cliff, the ocean far below, and looks around. Now on a path, he turns and sees people behind him and the seaplane heading back out of the inlet.
Lost your bearings?
Oh, hey. Sorry. Snuck up on me there. I don't think so. This is Summer's Isle, right?
Yes.
Then I'm in the right place.
I'm afraid not. This is private property. You can't land here without permission.
Listen, I completely understand, but I was invited here. I'm a cop.
And what does that mean?
A police officer. I do what I can for people, help them out.
Hey.
Now, a complaint has been made by a resident of this island.
A complaint, you say?
Yes, ma'am, about a missing child.
Well, now, that's always trouble.
Yep, for everybody.
Perhaps you should take these matters up with Sister Summer's Isle. She's very particular about anyone landing here. How did you land here, by the way? Is it the harbor pilot?
He just...
Well, he'll need a good talking to.
What's in the bag? A shark or something?
A large sack is being held by men wearing rustic garb like the women confronting Edward. He holds up the photo.
Do you know her?
I don't recognize this child. Do you, Violet?
No, can't say I do.
Just a tip there. It often helps to actually glance at the photo. So what are you telling me? This girl isn't from the island?
It doesn't appear to be.
Her mother's name is Willow.
Ah, Sister Willow. She quite slipped my mind. Yes, we have a Willow here, all right. Just up the way at the meeting house.
What a coincidence.
Bit of a free spirit.
Your bag is dripping.
The men hold the oozing bag stolidly.
Go on. Take a peek.
With wry grins, the sack is opened. Frowning, Edward approaches the open end. He jumps as something thrashes in the bag.
That's not her daughter, though.
He walks away from the cacklers to a wooden building full of people, all women, drinking and talking.
Must be ladies' night. Hi. Are you the barmaiden here, or whatever you call it?
I'm Sister Beach, yes. And you're that officer from California?
He's taken aback.
That's right. Name's Malus. Edward Malus. I'd just like a room and a meal. Can you swing it?
Swing what? Is that some kind of city talk?
Manage. That's what he means. Can we manage to put him up?
Well, since he didn't take the hint and leave, I suppose we'll have to. For one night at least.
Welcome.
She and Edward smile. Sister Beach looks disapproving.
This is Mr. Malus, an officer from the mainland. And this is...
Willow. Of course.
She's slim and doe-eyed, with full lips.
She'll show you upstairs. There is an empty room on the top floor.
I think I'll have a drink first. As long as I'm not intruding.
This here is mead. It's one of the pleasures of our island. A brew of honey, herbs, and whatnot.
Thanks. Yeah.
As he swigs from a glass-bottomed tankard, he spots Willow on a balcony above.
I think you ought to know. I think you all should know that I'm here on business. This is official police business, and I want to speak to each one of you at some point.
Official California business, is it? Because this is Washington.
I'm aware of that.
Then fine.
No, Mrs. Beach, it is not fine. It is anything but fine when a person is lost, especially a child.
The women look unimpressed. He spots a bee on the counter and slams his tankard down on it.
Now, why would you go and do a thing like that?
Sorry, I'm allergic.
He puts money on the counter and walks upstairs, meeting Willow on a landing. Looking nervous, she pushes a piece of paper into his hand and walks off. Thoughtfully, pausing to look down over the balcony, he heads for his room.
I am being watched. But we must try to speak later in private. There is a place out beyond the point. Meet me there in an hour. Edward, be careful and believe nothing that you see or hear. My God, to see your face again.
Adjusting his jacket and tie, he arrives to meet Willow in a small wooded clearing near the seaplane jetty.
You know, traditionally the guy gets his ring back when the fiancée runs away.
The ring's on a chain around her neck.
Still wearing.
Sort of. I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't come.
How could I not?
Easily. You could have thought I was a mad woman or something, raving about my lost daughter. They all do.
Look, I'm barely adjusted to the fact that you have a daughter, okay? So, let's go slow here.
So?
No. No. That's the only way to start this. What in the hell happened to you?
I didn't... Look, it was a long time ago. We were young.
So what?
Well, why do we do anything in this life?
I need some kind of answer here. Was it some other guy? Or, I mean, obviously, you met someone, but...
Look, I was scared, and... I don't know, I wasn't ready for this, so I ran back home.
It's quite a home, by the way. This place.
We're different here. I know that. If you've grown up around it, it's one thing, but it's... Yes. Odd. Anyway, my daughter is what matters to me now. Rowan.
Why do this? Stir this all up again. And so... Why don't you just get her dad to help you?
Because the only person I trust is you. Even after all these years.
Gazing into his eyes, she approaches him, taking his hand.
Edward. People will try to mislead you, they will, but you must trust me.
I want to help you, but...
No, she has been taken by who I don't know, I don't, but my little girl is still here.
I promise you. If she's here, I'll find her.
I know you will.
But I'm going to need to ask you some questions.
Okay, I'll meet you again as soon as it's safe. I have to go now.
Eyes wide with fear, she hurries off. He watches, confused as she rushes barefoot through the woods. In his room at night, he unpacks his bag. He checks a tin containing two syringes of bee allergy serum and his gun.
Leave us.
Sister Beach dismisses the men in the meeting house.
Greetings, Sister Beach. A lovely evening.
It is indeed. Welcome all.
Will Sister Summersisle bless us with her presence?
I'm afraid not. Enjoy the night. Only make sure you're ready for the day of tomorrow. The time of death and rebirth.
Yes. Of the Wicker Man's return.
The elderly blind twins smile eerily.
Excuse me. Did someone unpack my bag? Because I'm missing some tapes.
I wouldn't know about that.
They're called Everything's Okay.
Good.
The young blonde woman eating an apple eyes him with excited curiosity, then heads downstairs. Frowning, he goes back into his room. Dark clouds billow across a large silver full moon. Edward sleeps in his bed. In his dream, he sees the little girl on the ferry.
Edward, I know that we haven't spoken in a few years, and things ended badly. I ended them badly, to be more fair. Now I must.
He knocks on the ferry window, trying to attract the attention of the girl at the rail.
That's not her daughter, though.
As the girl looks around, the truck plows through her. Edward puts a hand to his head as his dream turns to the California highway and the girl in the car.
Did you get my doll?
Yeah, I got it, honey. A little banged up.
He looks around at a passing truck. When he turns back, the girl and her mother have gone. Baffled, he stares into the car. In bed, he puts a hand to his forehead, then sits up, feet on the floor, looks around, and takes some pills. He walks to the window and looks out at the night, frowning. He sees a little girl in a red cardigan running down a path. Hurriedly, he descends the stairs and heads outside carrying a torch. Once outdoors, he stops and shines the torch around.
Rowan?
The girl runs through the misty woods. Edward follows, shining the torch and picking his way over tree roots. Looking around, he sees an old barn and heads towards it. Inside, it's pitch dark.
Rowan?
The torch beam picks out wooden beams and old-fashioned farm equipment.
Rowan?
Hay dust falls from between the boards of the loft above. Edward hurries up a steep ladder and looks around, puzzled and worried. He walks further into the loft, climbing more steps and watching his footing. Opening the door to the room the noise came from, the torch beam picks out some plump pigeons.
Hello?
Wiping an eye, he spots something red behind a hay bale.
Rowan?
It's just an old coat. He lifts up a sack covering baskets of apples and potatoes, then takes one more look around. He falls through the old wooden floor, just grabbing the door to save himself. He reaches for the bottom of the doorframe, just as the spar he's holding onto breaks away. Dangling high above equipment on the floor below, he hauls himself over the door sill. Sun rises over the island, a dark shadow between the clouds and the shimmering sea. Looking pensive in jacket and tie, Edward sits at breakfast and tries to squeeze out the dregs from a bottle of honey. The young apple-eating blonde comes in.
What do you have store-bought? I thought you made this stuff here.
Look, I just serve what I'm handed. If you don't like it, you'll have to talk to Sister Beach, right?
What's with the sister thing, anyway?
It's just our way. We don't have any royal honey for you.
None at all?
No, not a drop. Our crop was cursed last year. I might find you a little bit of sugar.
All right.
Okay.
Sipping his coffee, he notices that the opposite wall is covered with black and white photographs. Putting down his cup, he goes to investigate. Every picture shows a young girl in a white dress standing in the middle of a ceremonial circle of flowers. He pulls out the photo of Rowan to see if any of the pictures match. One picture is missing. Its frame smashed and empty.
Mr. Malus, your sweetener,
Thanks. What are these? Festivals of some kind? Or?
That's right. Our harvest festival. We have one the end of each autumn. And then the festival of fertility, too, of course. But that's too sacred. No pictures can be taken of that.
What happened last year's?
Afraid it got ruined last night. Broke.
The burly woman, hair severely plaited against her head, hands over a jar and looks at him challengingly before striding off. The young blonde's chopping logs in the sunshine as Edward approaches her.
I meant to ask you in there, do you recognize this girl?
She grins and shrugs.
No. Where's the other woman who works here?
She's gone up to the village school with lunch for the day.
Where's that?
Up the hill and through the woods.
All right, perfect. Look, I'm sorry. What's happening here the day of tomorrow?
You mean the day after tomorrow? It's kind of a strange way to put it.
Yeah, I suppose. I thought the other was a local expression.
See, day after tomorrow would be May the 2nd. Nothing as far as I know.
No, I mean tomorrow. What's happening here then?
I told you.
You did?
When you leave? Will you take me with you?
She stares into his eyes, axe over her shoulder, her hand on his. He forces a smile and gives a non-committal nod. She pouts sulkily and goes back to her logs as he turns and leaves. She stares up after him. He ambles along a leafy woodland path with thick undergrowth and tall trees. A line of women, all pregnant and carrying baskets, files past him from the opposite direction.
Good morning.
One smiles and one stares. But the others ignore him completely. He trudges on. In the sunshine outside the schoolhouse, he adjusts his jacket before going in. The teacher is neat and slim with dark hair.
And Daisy, will you tell us what man represents in his purest form?
Yes.
Phallic symbol.
School's really changed since I was a kid.
How dare you stand there and frighten my children?
Sorry, I'm Edward Malus from California. I'm a policeman. See my badge?
I was unaware any of my girls needed arresting.
They don't, no. I'm just up here to find a missing girl whom people are pretending doesn't exist.
How quixotic of you.
Quixotic?
From Don Quixote, pursuer of lofty but impractical ideals, usually a man.
Look, I just need to speak to Willow Woodward. Is she here?
Already gone, I'm afraid. You're late, and the law won't help you with that.
Girls, let me have your attention for a second. As you might have heard, I'm here to verify the whereabouts of a young girl.
They all sit expressionlessly.
What's your name?
Lily.
Lily, I'm Officer Ed. Hi. Could you pass that around for me, sweetheart?
As the teacher watches unhappily, and the children all shake their heads over the photo, he goes to the chalkboard, rubs out the lesson, and writes Rowan's name in large letters.
That is her name, Rowan Woodward. Do any of you recognize the name or the photograph?
There's your answer. If she existed, we would know of her. Now, will you please go?
His attention is caught by an empty desk at the back of the class.
Whose desk is this?
The teacher looks defiant as he walks to the back of the room, looking back at her challengingly.
trap the little old bird inside to see how long he can stand it.
Now, why in the hell would you let them do a sick thing like that? Where's the attendance record?
Do you have Sister Summerisle's authority?
No, I do not have. You seem to forget that this is a legal matter.
I'm afraid you still need her permission.
He barges past her, opening desks and finds a register.
Put that back. Put that back.
Sorry, you're gonna have to bear with me.
He traces a finger down the pages of the register until he finds Rowan's name with a line through it.
You little liars. Rowan Woodward is your classmate, isn't she? Isn't she? That is her desk. And you're the biggest liar of them all. I am warning you. You tell me another and I'll arrest you myself. That is a promise, Miss...
Rose, Sister Rose.
Of course. Another plant. Rose, for the last time, where is this girl?
I'll speak to you outside. Girls, continue with your compositions.
He stares at the ranks of blank faces before following Sister Rose outside.
Well?
You don't understand.
That's exactly right. I do not understand. But I'm going to.
Mr. Malus, no one is lying to you. I told you that if Rowan Woodward existed, we would know of her.
If she existed. If...
But you cannot come barging
into our... I just saw that she existed with my own two eyes. And I suppose her mother is lying to me, too, huh? She's lying?
Not lying, no. Grieving. We all are.
Wait. When you say that she's grieving, you mean that Rowan is dead?
You would say so, yes.
She's dead or she isn't?
We never use that word here.
No, that'd be too quixotic.
Yes. You see, we believe that after the human life is over, the soul lives on. In air, in the trees, in animals, in fire,
even. All right, just, come on, tell me what happened to her, honestly.
It was an accident.
What kind of accident? How?
Mr. Malus, it was an accident. Leave things alone, please.
Now, if that's true, where's her body?
Exactly where you would expect it to be, in the earth.
In a churchyard.
Her mother insisted. Now, if you will excuse me, I have to get back to my class.
Wait, Miss Sister Rose, wait a minute. How'd she die?
She'll burn to death.
What? What'd you just say?
Precisely what I meant to. She burned to death.
He's completely baffled. He trudges back down the woodland path. He tries his mobile phone, but can't get a signal. Up ahead, a group of boys and men are gathering twigs. The woman supervising looks very familiar.
Excuse me. Is there some church near here?
Yeah. Down the hill.
Hey, didn't I just speak with you? Miss Rose, Sister Rose?
No, you didn't.
Apart from her straw hat, she's the image of the schoolmistress. Once again, Edward's completely stumped. He walks away from the group, glancing back over his shoulder. He arrives at a completely overgrown graveyard. Crumbling, moss-covered walls and gravestones stick up amid a sea of long golden grass and weeds. By the path is a mound of freshly dug earth. As he kneels to examine the grave, Willow emerges from behind a ruined church wall. As he crumbles the earth between his fingers, she walks up behind him.
That's not Rowan's grave.
All right.
It isn't. I know that this seems... But they put it there, I didn't.
Who's there?
She looks distractedly out over the graveyard.
I don't know, whoever's doing this, trying to make...
With another worried glance past him, she walks away. He follows, and they approach the ruined church.
not much now, but it used to be lovely. That's what they say anyway. It was built before my ancestors came here. That's the crypt, but it's all flooded.
It's a new lock.
He fiddles with the padlock on the hasp of the oblong steel cage covering the entrance to the crypt.
Rowan is alive.
That's not what folks have been telling me. I've heard that she doesn't exist. She's buried out in that graveyard. Even that she burnt to death.
The liars, they can't accept her or won't. They seem to blame her for all. Edward, I think they're gonna hurt her. Or even.
Why would they? I'm trying to understand. I am. But why?
I ran off once, tried to get away. They think I'm too proud or that I. Sister Summer's Isle has never been very fond of my wild ways.
Yeah, that name keeps coming up. The Summer's Isle. Who is she?
She's everything. Everything you see, all of it, really, is her. The rest of us, we live in her shadow. Me especially.
She sits next to him on a stone step by the crypt entrance.
They're all saying I've lost it.
I haven't, Edward.
I promise, I haven't. She's.
I can't let them do this to me.
Do what, Willa? What is it you're not telling me?
Forgive me.
Forgive you for. I'm lost.
I don't know.
Don't worry, it's. You know?
No. I don't know. I do not know that our daughter is going to be okay.
As he gasps, she flashes him a shocked look with her wide, innocent eyes.
Now you know what I've been trying to tell you, why. Why I need you to help me.
You're telling me I'm Rowan's father?
Yes.
Shaking his head, he walks away and looks through a glassless old stone window.
Should have told me, Willa.
They enter a simple white-walled room containing a bed and a child's writing desk, also painted white. Edward distractedly looks into some drawers.
So this is where you last saw Rowan?
Hmm.
Yeah? Can you give me the details? It's important.
Yeah. The last time I saw her was. She was sitting there at the desk. Rowan loves to draw. And swim. You know, she can swim like some.
Swim, okay. So you go out, right? You went out.
Only down to the market, but for no more than a half hour.
And you get back, and what?
And she was gone. Vanished, and. All her things, her. Toys, books, everything. It's
what was she wearing?
A sweater I made her. The one in the photo. She had that on. She dresses like every other child on this island.
Do you have any other photographs of her?
No. We didn't have many. I mean, with only Dr. Moss taking them.
Dr. Moss.
He examines the desk, kneeling down to look underneath.
And you're sure it's no way it could be someone from off the island?
No. No, it's. They're very careful about who they allow here.
Is Rowan depressed at all?
I.
Have you seen what she's drawn underneath her desk? It's pretty disturbing.
Edward, I know that.
Help me, and pictures of monsters in red crayon are written underneath. Edward barges past Willow to look in another room.
What are they doing?
The plane. I need its radio.
Wait for me.
He hurries out of the house and down to the inlet where the plane lands, crossing a lush lawn and jogging across the footbridge to the jetty. A sign across the end of the walkway reads, "I will return presently." He glances at it, then turns his attention to the plane.
Hello? Hello? Where is this guy?
He sits on a crate on the jetty and opens his mobile phone, but still can't get a signal. He sits, thinks, and looks at his watch. The plane's bobbing on the water. There's no sign of life. He sits and scratches his head, at a loss as to what to do next. He looks around, trying to find the source of the noise. There are metal grills at intervals along the wooden jetty. He looks down and sees long blonde hair floating in the water beneath one of them. He pulls at the grill, but to no avail, then takes off his jacket. He swims through the green gloom towards a small figure wearing a red cardigan hanging in the water. The little girl's eyes are closed, her hair floating loose. He wakes up with a start, then looks down and finds the drowned body in his arms.
God damn it!
Waking up again, there is no body. He looks at his watch and reaches for his pills. He looks around unhappily, then starts getting undressed. He swims out to the seaplane using powerful strokes and hauls himself up onto one of the plane's floats before opening the cabin door. Inside, there's nobody around and the radio's smashed. He clambers back out. Walking back up the hill, hands thrust in his pockets, he stops at a cottage and goes to the front door. Lettering above the knocker reads Dr. T.H. Moss.
You're persistent. I'm on my way out, but perhaps I can help in some way.
I need to ask a couple of questions. It's quick.
Things are rarely quick. Come inside, then.
Thank you.
The severe-looking Dr. Moss closes the door behind him.
You're T.H. Moss, the photographer.
I'm first a physician, second a photographer. A distant second. Did you want your picture taken?
So you take the Harvest Festival photographs every year. The ones I saw up at the tavern?
Yes, it's a rather humdrum affair, I'm afraid. My mother passed the skill on to me, as her mother before.
Your mother, of course. Do you have last year's photographs?
Isn't it there with the others?
No. Apparently it got destroyed.
What a pity!
Do you have a copy?
I have the negative, of course, and I could have one printed up for you if you like.
That'd be great.
He glances down at a leather-bound book entitled Rituals of the Ancients.
Thanks.
She eyes him critically as he leaves. He hides in the bushes opposite the doctor's house. Two women, heavily hooded, arrive.
It's time, sister. You must hurry.
The doctor glances at a pocket watch as they walk away. Once they're gone, he hurries back to the cottage. He glances around as the crow squawks, then finishes picking the lock with a tool from his police wallet and goes inside.
In societies as disparate as ancient Egypt and pre-Columbian Incan, fertility festivals were utilized in much the same way. A younger woman was chosen to personify fertility and then killed in a blood ritual by the presiding priesthood. In turn, this gesture was thought to guarantee a successful harvest for the coming year. In Europe and the Americas, on the other hand, the offering was often burnt.
He walks through to a back room containing an old-fashioned laboratory with objects preserved in glass jars. Some are human fetuses. Dimly lit office full of old hardwood furniture. He randomly opens drawers until he finds one containing black and white photographs. Another contains the harvest festival photos. Among them is one of Rowan, standing in the flower circle.
Rowan Woodward, guys. Worst harvest on record.
He strides down the path to Willow's house. She's sitting on the porch.
Hey. What the hell is this?
It's a picture. That's all.
No, that is not all. Why don't you tell me Rowan was a part of all this? Huh? The rituals.
I don't know.
Well, try, because I'm out there bouncing around in circles, and I can use a little help.
Edward, why are you yelling at me?
How about this for starters? Our daughter is part of your worst harvest on record. Now, you said before that they blamed her, so why don't you tell me about this?
It's just, it's a ceremony that we have. I don't know anything else.
You live here. You must know something. You mentioned the ceremony. Define it. What is the day of death and rebirth?
It's a story. That's all it is, a story.
Look, I'm trying to trust you here, but every time I turn my head, there's something that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I'm frightened of this place, too. I was happy to leave here when I did, even though I came back. I wish I hadn't. I wish that I stayed and made a life with you. Been with you all these years, but I didn't. I came back here and had our child, and now she's...
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We'll keep looking. I'm gonna see the Summers Isle lady right now. We have to check everything if we're gonna find Rowan.
If we find her?
When? When we find her?
Petite Willow stands on tiptoe to kiss him. Later, as he pushes a bicycle along a path, Edward comes upon some men loading large logs onto a cart. Some women in heavy cowls are standing nearby.
Let me give you a hand. Want some help?
He helps the silent man lift a long log onto the cart. Just pulls the man out of the way as the load collapses, nearly crushing them.
You okay?
The man just nods.
Can't you talk?
The guy walks off, barely glancing at him. Edward picks up the bicycle and walks off, looking annoyed. Other men trudge along, weighed down under heavy loads of saplings. Edward speeds down a dusty woodland path on the bicycle. Through the trees, he glimpses hooded women tending beehives.
Hey,
Pushing the bike through a meadow of high grass, he looks across at a walled garden. In the wall are beehives with clouds of the insects buzzing to and fro. Distracted, he bumps into a freestanding hive. Dropping the bike, he runs for his life as the bees swarm after him. Desperately, he swats at the insects, then falls over a bench. The bee farm is laid out along paths in adjacent hexagons like a honeycomb. He picks himself up, and unable to breathe, staggers on before falling down a grassy slope. He clutches at his throat, drops to his knees, and tries to crawl away. Getting out one of his syringes, he looks up and sees a little girl in a red cardigan before his world becomes a bright blur and he falls down. In a dream, he sees the truck plow into the station wagon and himself sprinting to help the driver and the little girl.
Keep your head down!
If she existed, we would know of her. Now, will you please go?
Rowan Woodward is your answer, isn't she?
He wakes up in bed. The doctor's looking down at him.
Had a scare, didn't we? You've been sleeping for several hours.
Where am I?
This is the home of Sister Summer's Isle. Ivy.
A butler puts down Edward's neatly folded clothes as the patient examines a lump on his forearm.
Did you use my kit? The adrenaline shot, or...
Oh, no. Nothing like that. When they brought me to you, you were near death, clearly. So I treated the danger in the old way.
He stares uncomprehendingly at her.
You are alive. That's what's important.
I'm here to see Sister Summer's Isle.
Yes, she's out front now. And she's been expecting you.
He swings his legs off the low bed and tries to stand, but collapses. Checking his gun, he turns and sees two girls in white dresses descending the stairs. One of them glances at him. Stepping outside, he's woozy and unable to focus in the sunlight. He squints and makes out a woman in robes standing with her back to him, talking to the two girls in white. He walks towards them. The two girls drift off. He rubs his eye and stands uncertainly.
They nearly had you.
Excuse me?
Our little friends, the bees. They almost did you in.
Yeah.
Pity.
Pity what? They nearly did or didn't?
Some of our keepers found you down near the stables, unconscious.
Yeah, beekeepers. They seem to be everywhere on the island.
Oh, yes, it takes quite a few of them to keep order around here.
I'm sure.
I can tell what she sees in you. Kind of rough potential.
Thanks, I guess. So, I hear you were expecting me. Well, why is that?
Just a matter of time before you came here. I believe you're looking for a child?
I might have found her.
Excellent.
Not exactly. In a grave. I'd like your permission to exhume the body, if one exists, and have it removed for an autopsy.
You suspect foul play?
Yeah, murder.
How perplexing for you. In that case, you must carry on.
You don't seem very concerned.
No. I suppose because I have confidence that your suspicions are wrong. We don't murder here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, even if a victim complies, it's still murder.
Well, perhaps where you come from, but we have our own beliefs.
Right. The festivals, all those offerings. To whom exactly?
To the great Mother Goddess who rules this island, with me as her earthly representative.
You?
Mm-hmm. I'm the spiritual heart of this colony.
You honestly encourage this sort of worship?
Come on. It's so nice. Let's wander. My Celtic ancestors, all the way back, rebelled against the suppression of the feminine. So, in the late 17th century, they fled to the New World. Unfortunately, they settled near Salem. So when they saw that the persecution continued, even here, well, that started a long and painful migration westward. Until in the 1850s, my great-great-grandmother led a group of people here and vowed never to enter into that other world again.
How's that possible? You can't just...
Oh, those pioneers needed a little urging to isolate. They were looking for a simpler way of life. Of course, some do leave, like our Willow, you know, to test themselves or us, or to find a man. But they always come home. Eventually.
Men are what? Second-class citizens?
No, not at all. We love our men. We're just not subservient to them. And men are a very important part of our little colony. Breeding, you know.
God. Quite a little racket you've got going for yourself here. Breeding? Sounds like inbreeding to me.
Please don't criticize what you know nothing about.
Don't any of you want to just be with someone? Fall in love?
We procreate because that's the desire of the goddess. To assure ourselves of worthy offspring. The strongest, the finest, the most sturdy of our kind.
I see. Female, right? And what if someone just happens to have a boy? What do you do then?
That depends.
His expression remains frozen as she smiles and saunters off.
Let me ask you one other thing, because frankly, I just don't get you. I do not get this place.
Oh, you will. In time, perhaps.
Perhaps it is time for you to stop bullshitting me, okay?
Now, you be careful.
Especially when a little girl's life is at stake. My little girl. I'm sure you've guessed.
As a matter of fact, yes.
I'm only interested in the law, sister. And I need to remind you, you are still within reach of the powers of a normal society. So if you wackos practice kidnapping and ritualized murder, it is my job...
I believe I've mentioned our stand on murder.
Murder is murder. Now, do I have permission to open the grave of Rowan Woodward?
Oh, I was under the impression I'd already given it to you. Your transport. Well, it's just been fascinating to converse with someone from a normal society. Till we meet again.
She turns and walks off, leaving Edward to retrieve his bicycle from the quiet butler. Sister Summersisle looks over her shoulder at him as he pedals off. He rides off down a tree-lined avenue. Later at night, he's digging at the gravesite, shoveling earth away from an ever-deepening hole. Kneeling, he brushes the last of the earth away from the wooden box, then frowns, pausing for thought before removing the lid. He tosses the lid aside and stares into the coffin. He shines his torch down onto a doll with a burned face. He looks at it in disbelief.
Rowan? Rowan?
He hurries towards the ruined church, shining his torch into the roofless nave presided over by a crumbling rose window like the spokes of a wagon wheel. Putting down the doll, he approaches the entrance to the crypt. Peering through the protective bars, he sees a closed door below. The padlock on the hasp is unlocked. He lifts the heavy wooden lid covering the entrance and makes his way down steep stone stairs.
Rowan!
Shining the torch around, he sees a hatch in the floor.
Rowan!
Reaching through the hatch to the water below, he pulls out a red cardigan. It has the initials RW on a name tag sewn into the collar.
Rowan! Rowan!
He takes off his jacket, heaves open the metal hatch and jumps into the dark waters below. Shining the torch reveals that the water almost reaches the ceiling. He looks around, then dives underwater and starts to swim. Religious carvings loom up out of the darkness, but no little girl. He turns as he hears the hatch closing and swims back. Distorted by looking up through the water is a figure in a heavy beekeeper's hood. He swims up and desperately tries to get the hatch open.
Help! Hey!
He looks around the dark recesses of the flooded crypt, but there's no other way out.
Help!
Dark clouds pass across the face of the full moon. Reliving the burning station wagon, he imagines the little girl to be Rowan.
I wish that I stayed and made a life with you, but I didn't. I came back here and had our child, and now she's...
Well, who were they?
I never know.
There's a bee on the face of his colleague, who then evaporates, becoming a cloud of bees. The sun rises flame orange above the island, a dark silhouette between the sky and the rippling sea.
Edward? I'm dead here!
Edward!
Air, silent! Shut the lid!
I'm coming!
Oh, God.
Willow hurriedly descends the steep crypt steps. She hauls away a large stone that's preventing the hatch from opening, then lifts the heavy lid.
Look, look at this. She was here. She was down there. Somebody's keeping her here.
Willow presses the sodden cardigan tearfully to her lips, her eyes wide with fear.
I want to show you something else.
Come on.
They emerge from the crypt into the sunshine, and Edward rushes over to the doll he found in the grave.
Is hers? Tell me!
Yes, I think it's...
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned?
I don't know! Where are you going?
Back to her place.
And I'm coming with you.
No, Willow, I mean it.
But maybe if we... Why are you looking at me like that?
Something bad is about to happen. I can feel it. Go to the house and lock yourself in. I'll come back for you. Go! Now!
She hesitates, then runs off. Holding the doll, Edward runs off across the overgrown graveyard and reaches Sister Summersisle's house.
Summersisle! Summersisle! Summersisle!
Flinging open a door, he finds a room with an old man in bed. He's only got one eye. Half his face is a massive scar, and his body's covered in scabrous lumps.
Summersisle! Summersisle! Summersisle!
In another room, a young woman is naked in a chair and covered in bees. She smiles at him, and he recoils in horror. The windows in all the doors are hexagonal, like cells in a honeycomb.
Summersisle!
She's sitting, hair loose about her shoulders, in white robes in a large four-poster bed, hung with fine white net drapes.
He's gone now.
Excellent.
He sprints down one of the woodland paths. The cyclist is masked like a large black crow.
What's with the feathers?
We're all preparing.
For what? Celebration?
Oh, yes. Of death. And rebirth.
Sister Rose, she's only a child. You're a teacher. Please, just think about what you're doing.
The time. Her sentiment is over. The moment has come.
I won't let her die.
So gallant, Sir Knight, still tilting windmills, I see. Right until the end.
Get off the bike. Get off the bike. Step away from the bike. Take your stupid mask.
Ignoring her withering glare, he holsters his gun, jumps on the bike, and pedals away. She watches him with a knowing stare.
It is he.
He's taken aback by the aging blind twins with their eerie smiles, and then pedals on. He crosses the lawn in front of Willow's house, then flies down the lane to the meeting house. He parks the bike and goes inside. It's full of men.
I need your help, all of you. Come on, can't you hear me? I said I need your help. Don't be afraid.
The man knocks his hand away. The others either stare or ignore him completely. Shocked and baffled, he runs back outside, then approaches another house.
I'm looking for a missing girl. Take that mask off your kid.
You wait a minute. Do you have permission to charge in here and just disrupt?
No! I don't need anybody's goddamn permission! I'm gonna search every inch of this town in the next 3 hours, and anybody who interferes will be brought up on murder charges. You got that? You have my permission to stay out of the fucking way!
As he searches, he opens a wardrobe and a girl falls out onto the floor. He stares at them in disbelief. At another house, children in animal masks are playing chase.
Hey, take those masks off.
Hey, stop
Come
it!
Here!
Oh, wait!
Rowan!
He sprints from door to door.
Rowan!
At a junction between two paths, he pauses, then runs back to the meeting house. The bicycle's gone. Increasingly desperate, he turns and runs down to the inlet where the seaplane moors. His eyes widen in shock. The plane's been sunk. Just the tip of one fin remains sticking up above the water. He looks around and heads for the rocks. Behind an old tree trunk is the pilot. His eyes are bloody holes, his mouth has been crudely and bloodily sewn up, and there's a bloody stump where his hand was. Three girls in animal masks pop up from behind a bush, watching him. As he runs off the beach, they hide again.
I trust you won't have to let your costume out again this year, sister. Very soon you'll be an entire family of bears.
Oh, I'll manage, Sister Oak. It does seem to shrink a bit each year, however. So, sister, did you see to that business at the harbor?
Oh, yes. Just as you instruct.
They stare as Edward walks in.
Now I'll be off.
Well, well. You look a bit worse for wear now, don't you?
His eyes bore into her as he descends the stairs. She grins patronizingly as he approaches. His left hook lays her out cold. The women are gathering for the festival. Sister Summer's Isle is in white robes, half of her face painted white, the other half a dark blue.
O goddess of the fields, I bring this humble colony before you on this day. This most sacred of days, please accept our offering.
Hail, blossom fields!
Accept our offering! That you will once again in the year to come bestow on us the rich and diverse fruits of thy realm.
They put on their masks. The doctor a sheep, Sister Rose the crow. Edward gets into Sister Beach's bear costume. As the young woodcutter dives on Edward, a cask of mead is broached, the contents pouring onto the ground. Edward grapples with the enraged girl, flinging her over his shoulder. The revelers dance in procession. The girl attacks again with animal ferocity. He takes her down with a brutal karate kick, sending her flying into the wall of festival photos. She slumps down, eyes rolling back into her head. Edward gathers up the bear costume as the procession dances its way through the village. The animal heads give the dancers a menacing, inhuman air as they move through the bee fields and across meadows. More people join the parade, emerging from the woods along the route. Among them is Edward the bear. He approaches Willow, who has a rabbit mask.
I thought I called you away from me.
What do you mean? I had to come.
As the procession enters the woods, they stop dancing, the mood becoming more somber.
And now, we fulfill our deepest purpose to balance the forces of dark and light.
Rowan, in white robes, is tied to a tree. Edward stares in horror. Willow looks at him imploringly, and he nods and breaks from the group, running towards the little girl.
What is it? What's wrong, sister?
Don't be frightened.
Go.
My name is Edward. I'm going to save you.
At Summer's Isle's order, a party runs to intercept them. Taking the child in his arms, Edward crosses a fallen tree bridge and runs off into the forest. The pursuers give chase through the dense woodland and run straight past the pair hiding behind a large tree. Edward picks Rowan up again and struggles on. As the way looks clear, he puts her down and lets her walk in front of him.
Wait, Rowan, wait. Hello? Pete, help us! Help, please! Please help!
He struggles out of the bear costume before heading off again with Rowan in front.
Rowan, honey, slow down. Rowan, slow down.
She runs out of the woods into a meadow.
Rowan, stop.
The women are all waiting.
Did I do it right, Mommy? Did I?
Yes, my love. Oh, my little Rowan. You did it excellently.
Don't touch her! Do not touch her! Rowan, come back here.
Welcome, Mr. Malis. You have come of your own free will to keep this appointment with the Wicker Man.
Stay back!
And now the game is over.
The game of the hunter leading the hunted.
You came to find our little Rowan, but it is we who have found you, just as we intended to do.
I don't understand. Rowan was missing. I had to come. I had a letter. Willow, tell them.
She smiles coyly.
Willow, please tell them.
The letter was from all of us here. Your invitation to visit, one might say.
You see, you were just the man we needed, and we were determined to get you here.
Notice, Sir Knight, how we led you to believe that your daughter would be sacrificed due to the failure of the crops last year.
But they did fail. I saw the photo.
Yes, they failed, all right. Disastrously so. One of the few times since my ancestors moved here. But we are always prepared with a powerful sacrifice. And that, my friend, is your destiny.
It is your destiny.
Back up!
What we require is a stranger, yet one who is connected to us.
He is connected to us.
Connected by blood.
Summer's Isle nods as Edward blinks uneasily.
Willow. Why have you done this to me?
We orchestrated all of this with the greatest care, everything that's happened. Be proud of yourself. You have done so well.
Yes. My daughter speaks the truth. Your fate was sealed many years ago when she chose to be with you.
Your daughter.
Yes. My Willow. This is a story whose chapters were carefully written.
Masks are removed.
You have been chosen to die a martyr's death. You will sit beside the gods and goddesses for all of eternity.
Back up! I swear to God I will shoot you!
It is a great honor. One that you cannot refuse. It is ordained. There is no way out.
Stay back!
Willow lets the bullets fall from her hand, and the crowd presses in on Edward. Summer's Isle looks proudly at her daughter as Edward puts up a spirited fight, but is easily overwhelmed. Three logs are laid down, one on top of the other two. Edward's legs are laid over them, and he's pinned down.
You bitches! You bitches! This is murder! Murder! You'll all be guilty! And you're doing it for nothing! Killing me won't bring back your goddamn honey!
But I know it will.
His knee is smashed with a large mallet.
Oh, how can it? I'm not one of you! I don't believe in your gods! I don't believe in sacrifice!
The mallet comes down again on his other knee. Sister Beach grins triumphantly. Willow looks guilty, and her mother stares with stern conviction as they sit Edward up.
Oh, God. Oh, no, don't move me! Ah! What is it? Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes!
A basket and mesh helmet is placed on his head and bees poured in. The villagers stare, some with detached interest, some smirking. Willow kneels beside him, then the hood is removed. Stung and unconscious, Edward slumps to the ground. The doctor approaches him with one of his own syringes.
We'll do it your way this time. I must keep you alive.
He's gathered up in a tarpaulin, and the procession moves off, crossing a meadow dotted with beehives. They approach a large structure, and Summer's Isle turns, raising her hands.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
On a hill towering above them is a vast man-shaped pyre made entirely of wicker. Edward is carried towards it up a long flight of wooden steps. The arms, legs, and torso are made up of compartments containing livestock. The top compartment in the huge head is empty.
Oh, gods and goddesses of nature, receive this sacrifice and be appeased.
Gods and goddesses of nature, receive this sacrifice and be appeased.
Edward is winched up through the torso by his shattered legs. Willow kneels in prayer. Sister Beach licks her lips and the doctor smiles serenely. Edward slumps onto the floor of the head cage. The winch rope is removed, and Willow hands a flaming torch to little Rowan.
Rowan! No, Rowan, don't put it down! No! Put it down! Rowan! Put it down, honey! Put it down! Ah!
As she drops the torch, the flames immediately burn fiercely. She smiles happily, looking up at Edward, then runs to her mother.
The drone must die! The drone must die!
The drone must die! The drone must die! The drone must die! The drone must die! The drone must die! The drone must die! The drone must die! The drone must die!
Fire consumes the Wicker Man, quickly reaching the head and engulfing Edward in an orange inferno. As the flames lick at the sky, Sister Rose smiles. The woodcutter chants. Sister Beach is grinning happily, but her smile fades, and the doctor takes a photo with an antiquated camera. Willow gives a sad smile. Consumed, the head cage crashes to the ground, still burning. The end.